This broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthur's.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship, and you are tuned in at 8:30 of a morning, 10:30 of a morning, or 5 o'clock of an evening. This is the Refresh Radio broadcast. We are less than 10 days away for Christmas. There's no pressure, but if you haven't mailed that package yet, you might as well call them and tell them, hey, there's a good chance it might be late. If you haven't got your shopping done yet, if you think the traffic was bad before, it could be quite extensive right now. So we want to take this opportunity to invite you out to our services this Sunday morning, 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for praise and worship. And then I'll be preaching my Christmas message this Sunday. Next Sunday is Christmas. And on that day, we're going to be having our Christmas communion service. And we're looking forward to that. Special service hours for Christmas Sunday. They're for, on that Sunday, not this Sunday. Want to make that clear. On Christmas Sunday, our service times will be at 11 a.m. And we will not have Sunday school that day. So we would love to have you come and be a part of that. Going to be very conscientious of your time. It will be, you will be out of there by noon. And so gives you an opportunity to celebrate with your family before, have a big celebration after church. Would love to have you come and bless us with your presence, and we would be honored to have you there. That will be on Christmas Sunday. This year we will not have a Christmas Eve service. So let's dive into the Word of God. Yesterday we were talking, we're in Matthew chapter 7. Yesterday we got through four words of verse number 15. So let me begin reading verse number 15. We'll read on down to verse number 20. It says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." So yesterday we were talking about beware, pay attention to the reality that there are false prophets. We as Christians, we like to be people who tell the truth, live the truth, and we expect that the same will be done unto us. Unfortunately, that is not the case. There are many people who look at churches as their source of income because they are able to perpetrate a story, a fraudulent story, and because we want to help people, they end up manipulating people through a pseudo tragedy, and that's how they exist from day to day. For some reason, they would rather do that and not go out and work a job than to go out and feel good about doing a job, getting compensated for that job, and enjoying the benefits that come from that. Now, I know that there are emergencies that come up. There are challenges that arise. There are some people who do not have the ability to work. I'm not talking about those situations. I'm talking about people who come in under false pretense. They come in and declare themselves to be Christians, but their nature is not that at all. They live a counterfeit lifestyle to the genuine lifestyle of faith that the Bible encourages believers to operate in. So as long as you are aware of that. So, you know, at Merit Assembly of God, we like to be a blessing locally, nationally, internationally. We help people out, and not just you know, through programs and stuff like that. If there's an individual that falls upon hard times, we do what we can for them. But, you know, I've been at this for 30 years now. And so we want to know that it's a legitimate situation, and we don't want to be enablers. We want to actually be people who help resolve and equip and disciple people to experience the blessings and the favor of God in their life. So when it comes to church, if somebody in the church is having a problem, we help out. If there's somebody who, a person in the church is in personal relationship with, we will help them out. A person who just cold calls and they're just going down every church phone number that they can find listed on the internet, then we don't necessarily feel obliged to meet that need, because we don't know them. The first question I ask is, where do you go to church? And you would be amazed at the number of people who are having dysfunction in their lives that they need help with, and they don't have a church. You need a church. You need a church. You need a pastor. And like I've said, I would be honored to be not only the radio pastor here, but to be able to pray with you and help you to grow in your faith and to function in the gifts that God has uniquely placed in your life. That would be a privilege and an honor. But I'm not interested in keeping people bound in their sin. There was a guy many years ago, and we took our kids to a local restaurant not far away from the church. I could name it to you, but I'm not going to. And while we were walking in, there was this homeless person that I knew by name, and he was standing outside the door. And he said, "Hey, Pastor Bob, how are you?" And I said, "Good." And he said, I'm not going to lie to you. I need some money." And I said, "Well, you know, what do you need the money for?" And he said, "Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I need a beer. I need something to drink." And I said, "You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to give you money so that you can go out and get something to drink." And he said, "Hey, at least I told you the truth." I said, "And I appreciate that. And I'm telling you the truth. I want to see you delivered from that stronghold in your life instead of me enabling." And we were friends. He would come to church and I would talk with him on many, many occasions, but I wasn't going to reinforce the bondage that he was already in. And so there were many times that we fed him. There were many times that we, you know, helped him out if he needed a ride or something like that. But we weren't going to operate from a position of enabling a counterfeit lifestyle in his life. So what do these false prophets look like? It says, "Well, they will come to you in sheep's clothing." And so when they emerge from wherever they reside, and they make their entrance into the presence of believers, it says that they are going to put on the outward appearance of being a sheep, a follower of the shepherd, who is Jesus Christ. He said they know what the appearance should be. You know, you can know the clothes to wear. You can know some of the words to share, but you and I are not to judge by outward appearance. That was what God instructed Samuel when he was commanded to go to the house of Jesse and anoint the next king of Israel that would reign after Saul had passed away. And so he sees the firstborn of Jesse and he says, oh man, he's handsome. He's the eldest. Surely this is the king of Israel. And God said, don't judge by outward appearance. God does not look on the outward appearance. He looks on the attitude of the heart. And he cycled through all of Jesse's sons that were there. And he said, God hadn't chosen any of these. Do you have another one? And he said, yeah, I've got, you know, the youngest. He's out there in the field watching the sheep. And he said, I'm not leaving until he shows up. And when David showed up, God said, that's the one. That's the one that I want you to anoint as king over Israel. David was described as a man after God's own heart. So you don't want to judge just by outward appearance. That could be positive and negative. You know, in this case, this is saying do not make superficial judgments on people as to the reality of Jesus living in their heart just because of what they look like on the outside. James would talk about, hey, stop showing favoritism to people who are rich and you're ignoring the people in your gathering that are not rich. He said, it's the rich that are causing you problems in your society. Stop doing things like that. So, you know, we can be incorrect in our assessment by making judgments on the superficial when it comes to the negative things. But here Jesus is saying, you've got to pay attention because there's going to be people come in. They're wearing a disguise. They are trying to talk like Christians, act like Christians, behave like Christians for a ungodly motive. And it goes on and says, inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. By the way, I'll say one more thing. In order for them to have sheep's clothing on, that means that they would have already have had to have attacked a sheep. And so at my church, I am more intentional than ever before about knowing those that labor among me. And by that, I mean, I want to know the person. I don't want to know them for 10 minutes. I don't want to know them for a half an hour. I want to get to know them. Way too many scars, way too many bruises, way too many heartaches that I've experienced because God was showing me warning signs, flashing yellow lights or flashing red lights, and I just blew through the warnings of God and ended up with heartache in my life. And it's like, how many times do I want to go around that mountain? I can tell you I've been around it too many times. I need to follow the Bible's example and know them that labor among me. Listen, when God tells you something, He means it. He knows what He's talking about. And if someone's coming in and they're wearing sheep's clothing, that means a sheep has already paid the price because at some point in time their true nature got exposed. Verse number 15 continues, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So we're talking about the appearance versus the nature. And the nature is who you are on the real side of things. The word that is transferred here, ravenous, is also translated a robber or a swindler or a con artist, someone who is rapacious or vicious. In other words, they are there to take something, steal something, attack people, there is a part of their nature that is not there to benefit the body of Christ. It is to assault and attack the body of Christ. And it describes them here as ravenous wolves. Ravenous wolves. I don't know. Have you ever seen a full-grown wolf? Because I have. And I remember when, I don't remember exactly which zoo it was, maybe Atlanta, where they had this wolf exhibit. And it was like, that's not the dog down the street. That is a very imposing, threatening creature to deal with right there. And you know, I've known some animals that you think, oh, that's not too big a deal, until they attack and it's like, wow, boy, are they really fast. Wolves are designed for, you know, they want to eat. Their primary motivation, almost created a new word, their motivation, their motivation is to make sure that they don't starve to death and make sure those that are endeared to them do not starve to death. And they don't care who pays the price for that to become a reality. And so this is something, again, they can have the appearance of sheep, but their nature is one of destruction, one that feasts on sheep. And so you have to make a decision of what you're going to pay attention to. Are you going to pay attention to the things on the outside, or are you going to pay attention to the things that reflect the nature of the person that you're dealing with? So, being a Christian means that our nature has been changed. Our mind process, our thought process has been completely transformed by the glory of God. And so that word transformed is the word from which we get metamorphosis. And I always like to describe the transformation that takes place from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And it is not just in appearance. It's in nature. It's the purpose for their existence. So pre-transformation, a caterpillar is only focused on the things that it can consume. It is bound to the ground. You have to be careful that you eat enough so that you can go through the metamorphosis process, but you can't eat so much that you become a target of another predator. A caterpillar is only focused on itself and consuming everything that it can consume. But after it goes through the transformational process, no longer is it limited to ground transformation, but because of the struggle emerging from the cocoon, it causes the wings to be able to spread out, which gives them a functionality, which gives them an increased rate of mobility along with a different mode of mobility. But besides that, a butterfly is just prettier than a caterpillar in most cases. But the nature has also changed. The nature of that butterfly is now no longer on the consumption of resources. Its focus is now on the propagation of life. And so everywhere it goes, it is laying eggs. It knows that the time that it has is very important, and so it's focused on propagating life instead of just on what it can consume. I tell people, if you got baptized and your behavior didn't change, your nature didn't change, your vocabulary didn't change, your priorities didn't change, then you didn't get baptized, you just got wet. We are supposed to be changed inwardly by the grace of the Lord. And so where Jesus has told them, pay attention to false prophets who are really there to consume, even though their appearance is a superficial appearance of making you think that they're something they're not, he said, you will know them by their fruits. And so there's an old saying, you know, where people say, judge not lest you be judged, and said, yes, but the Bible does tell me that I am to be a fruit inspector. And you and I produce fruit in our life, and it depends upon the source in which we are tapped into. So in Galatians chapter 5, there are the fruit of the Spirit, and previous to that, there are the works of the flesh. And so if you are tapped into the carnal nature, you are going to produce actions and thoughts and mindsets that are not pleasing to God. But because of Jesus coming into our life, even though such were some of us, now we produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. As long as we are tapped in to God the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ is living in our heart, our nature is going to be radically different from what it was before. I'm an introvert by nature. But because of the grace of God, I can be an extrovert. You know, I'm past that thing of, oh no, if they don't like me, you know, I don't know if I'll be able to survive. Jesus has shown me that I can survive. So my kids, two of them and their families, they went out to a Dallas Cowboys Chicago Bears game. And they flew out there early. My son is a Cowboys fan. My son-in-law is a Bears fan, but we're still praying for him. He's also a Clemson fan, and we're praying for him in that regard as well. But they went out there to watch this game. They got out there and took a real early flight. They went to the grocery store, and my son just goes up and starts talking to this guy, and it turns out that he is a pretty prominent employee in the Dallas Cowboy organization. And because he went up and struck up a conversation with this guy, they ended up getting to tour the stadium a couple of days later, all because his nature had changed. He was like me. He was pretty quiet at one point in time, but now God has done works in his life, and he's like, I can talk to anybody about anything. Knows a lot about things that, you know, I go to him for technology advice and all that sort of stuff. You will know them by their fruits, not by their numbers. Numbers are important. And, you know, I heard a guy say, you youth pastors, if you don't think numbers are important, you go to youth convention and come home from youth convention with less kids than you went to youth convention with, and you will find out that you got numbers are really important. Numbers are important, but fruit is what people can know us by and what we will know other people by. You can tell what's in a person's heart because of the words that they speak, because they speak out of the abundance of their heart. You can tell what's in a person's heart, what's in a person's character, by the way that they treat other people and whether or not they realize that that person has an eternity that is either going to be in the presence of God or not in the presence of God. And so today I want you to pay attention to the people around you and ask yourself this question. Does the fruit of their life identify them as a part of the body of Christ or as a pseudo or a counterfeit member of the body of Christ? Are they in my life to be a blessing? Are they in my life for me to be a blessing to them? Or are they in my life as a strategic plant of the enemy to try and derail my faith? Sometimes you have to ask yourself difficult questions. I like to get around people every once in a while that begin to put things in perspective that I haven't thought of before. And I was like, wow, I'm very impressed. Whenever God puts somebody in my life that makes me better, I always thank God. You know, we're a week away from Christmas, a little over a week away. And I want to encourage you. I know Thanksgiving's in the rearview mirror, but I want to encourage you to thank God for the people that he's brought into your life. Thank God for your parents, your family members that are still around. Thank God for your kids. I pray that you thank God for your church family. I pray that you thank God for your pastor. Because I'm thankful. I'm thankful for you. People who are in the body of Christ because God's called them to be a blessing to the body of Christ, they are a blessing to you, and you can bless them, and all of us should be thankful that God loves us enough to bless others into our lives so that we are better off. God bless you. You have a great day, a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing all the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. this truth.